Hey everyone, and welcome to this special Soapbox edition of the Risky Business Podcast. My name's Patrick Gray. These Soapbox editions of the show are wholly sponsored, which means everyone you hear in one of these editions paid to be here. And this edition of the show is brought to you by Materials Security, and they are a very interesting company. I'll just give you a quick rundown on what it is they do, and then we can get into the details with the founders who are joining me in just a moment. Basically, what they do is they lock up your cloud-based email. They use Google and Microsoft's APIs to redact sensitive information from your mail spool, or even redact entire messages from your spool. Like, you know, anything that's over a month old, they just remove it from your archive, and they store it in their own archive, and then they kick you up to an auth challenge when you want to access that mail. So if an attacker like Holiday Bear, for example, manages to pop your O365 or your G Suite, they can't look through your users' mail spools because they're not actually stored there anymore. Now, of course, they can probably intercept incoming mail by racing Materials API access, but you get my point. You're in a much better place. The situation is even better if an attacker manages to pop one of your users the old-fashioned way, via phishing or whatever, because in that case, the attacker is going to be very restricted in what they can actually do. Materials product will actually redact password reset links and whatnot from incoming mail, so any attacker hoping to leverage mailbox access into access to other services by playing the password reset game, they're shit out of luck in that situation, right? So it's an interesting set of controls to apply to email. And traditionally we've only treated email as a vector as opposed to being a target in and of itself. And, you know, recent news has shown us that email is certainly something that attackers like to obtain. Material has built, you know, a product that recognizes that email is in fact what attackers are trying to steal a lot of the time. Abhishek Agrawal and Ryan Noon are both co-founders and the CTO and CEO of Material Security, respectively. They joined me to talk about their new product, and here's what they had to say. Here's Ryan Noon talking about where the idea for Material Security came from.
Yeah, so we started this company after the 2016 election hacks, where somebody popped a Gmail account. Just a regular old personal Gmail account, and sucked all the data out of it. And the rest is obviously a fairly dark part of our history. And it's interesting that we're recording this on, you know, the day we recorded it on. But like,
yeah, I should just mention to listeners too, it is actually Inauguration Day in the United States as we record this. So yeah.
Yeah. It's a day of destiny to be on Risky Biz, obviously, on Inauguration Day, when you've dedicated a huge chunk of your 30s to and beyond, you know, to protecting email because of that damn dude. The point is, like, I got really into email security. And I realized, like, the whole, like, Gartner category and whatever is basically phishing blockers. Like, maybe we could detect that really tricky Google email or whatever that they sent to Podesta. But, like, you don't get to roll those out on personal accounts. So necessity is the mother of invention. We got to get creative. So what we built was basically stuff that worked on cloud email APIs that could protect mailboxes without being some gateway firewall thing. Right. And so at a really high level, we had to kind of think like, well, like from the inside out, like what does someone do after they pop an account? They try and download everything in the case of Podesta. They try and reset passwords and accounts. They try and impersonate you. They do all this stuff. So if we could be really clever with the Gmail APIs and, you know, the Microsoft ones ended up having the same feature, then, you know, we could protect accounts in a way that's actually like defense in depth, that like someone is literally staring at your inbox trying to download everything, for example, and we can make that harder or impossible. So like we kind of cheekily call it like seatbelts for email, because like it assumes the bad thing happened and then tries to save your bacon anyway.
Well, see, we got to take a step back, because my experience with bringing you guys on as a sponsor, right? It went something like this. We had this conversation and then I'm like, I still don't get it, right? Yeah, like, so you do mail filtering, right? It's like, no. And then I got the demo.
That's the hard part. Yeah.
And then I got the demo and it sort of makes sense, right? So instead of having, basically, okay, so after I auth to my Gmail, instead of having just like access to my entire mail spool, if I'm using your product, I don't have immediate access to my entire mail spool. If I want to do a password reset on my Twitter account or on another account or whatever, I can't actually do that without doing extra actions like step up auth with like, you know, like a U2F key or whatever. Why don't you actually walk us through what the product does? Because it's, you know, I mean, talking in general terms about protecting, being a seatbelt for email and protecting defense in depth. I mean, that's, that's cool. But like, let's get to the nitty gritty, Ryan. Tell people how it works.
Sure. I miss being able to do like demos and elevators on my phone. You know, it was actually nice. Like you don't have to tell people in elevators, you just show them on your damn phone. Cause I got my Gmail hooked up to my phone. But yeah, like our three kind of craziest cool features are basically we can modify emails in mailboxes after they've been delivered. So if you've got something that's like pretty sensitive in your mailbox, we can detect it or you can flag it. And then after it's been in there for like a while, maybe you've archived it, maybe it's been a week or a month or whatever you want or whatever the customer wants, we can redact it and take out the body and the attachments and then just put a little retrieve button on it, right? And if you need access to the sensitive email from last year because it's like my, you know, passport or something that I do leave in Gmail because it's handy, then I can just press this button and then hook up to some test that's super easy for the good guy in my threat model and super hard for the bad guy in my threat model. Usually most of our customers, it's like a duo push or like Okta or, you know, WebAuthn, U2F, whatever, just something that people have already trained their employees on that's easy for them. And then as soon as they're like, yeah, I actually meant to retrieve this email right now from this person, then we just put it back in the mailbox. It takes 5 seconds. And then you can have a huge, super tall mailbox with like all the House of Nightmares that you've totally been meaning to delete, but never will. But it's not going to walk away if somebody pops you, even if they get like raw OAuth
access. I mean, that's the thing. Like, it's not even about someone taking your whole spool, right? Because like, to be honest, there should just be standard protections against that with the major mail providers. Like, it's kind of surprising there isn't, but it's more about, yeah, that idea that you can have those protections. You could still keyword search for an email and then, you know, you'll find the email, but the only thing that will be there will be a retrieve button. And yeah, so that was one of the features you were going to, I'm guessing you were going to talk about the password reset stuff as well.
Yeah, that's the one of the other ones. Like, The sad thing is like, you know, there's a classic like Brian Krebs blog post where he's like the value of a hacked email account and it's all the stuff I can do with it. There's all the data that's there, but it's also like all the things you sign into with it. You know, we like to use the phrase like email is the original SSO, right? Because it's like your username on pretty much everything. And it's why like Gmail accounts and stuff and sell for so much more. And it's why super admin accounts are so much more targeted and stuff like that. And so the thing is, yeah, once I pop your email, I just go and forget my password on every other site. And then, you know, Dropbox or Box or your bank or something sends you an email. And they're like, click here to reset it. Because if you have my email, the internet assumes that you are me. And that's a very old, like 30-year-old assumption, you know? And so we just basically make it so that instead you get an email from us and then press the button to prove that you meant to actually do this. Send the user a duo push or an Okta push or something. Just, it really depends on the customer. Everybody has their own thing. Like, I want my laptop to be a trusted device or something, and I can only access, you know, I can only reset my company accounts for my company laptop and shit like that, whatever you want. And then after you do that, we just rewrite our email to be the original like password reset email or whatever. So it's just all of these authentication workflows and stuff are based around email. But like, honestly, if the bad guy like pops your work laptop, they're going to open your Outlook and do this. Or they might even like fish you on your personal email and you're signed into your work laptop and then you're screwed. Like, these are the stories we hear from customers. So like, when you tell people your email security, they're like, oh, well, you must be a phishing blocker. And I'm like, yeah, that wouldn't solve any of these attacks. Like, you know, the SolarWinds or whatever we're calling it, like they want it, like they were exfilling email and they didn't get you via phishing. So like,
oh, believe me, we're going to be talking about Holiday Bear, aka the SolarWinds crew, aka Hand Wavy Russia stuff, right? We will be talking about that. But I want to stick with this for a moment. I mean, look, I found it very interesting when we did the demo last year. I was like, you know, as someone who runs a company with like, you know, a couple of employees, I was looking at it going, hell yeah, you know, like this is something I can use. And we'll talk about that later because, you know, hook a guy up, right? That's really, you know, it's a really interesting and different type of product. We're also joined by Abhishek Agrawal, who is the CTO of and a co-founder of Material Security. And you're the right guy to ask this question, which is, tell us how it works. Like, how does this actually work? Because when I saw it, I'm like, look, this is cool when you've got buttons to push in your actual Gmail that lead to step up U2F. I'm like, that's cool. But like, there's also the part of me just going, how do they do that?
Yeah, no, it's a pretty insane insight that I think, I'm actually shocked it's not like more popularly known because of how powerful it is. But basically what we realized way back ago when we started the company is that if you have API access to mailboxes, one of the capabilities you get, if you're really, really clever, is the ability to mutate messages. And a lot of what we do in our product, in our company, relies on this fundamental ability. And it's not as simple as, okay, Gmail gives you like a modify API. It's not that easy, but it's essentially you have insert and you have delete, so you have modify. And these old APIs, they exist for like migration purposes. So if I was trying to move all my email from Google to Microsoft or vice versa, I have to recreate mail history in one platform or the other.
Oh, so that's that function I was just saying shouldn't exist 5 minutes ago.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey. The market wants what it wants, man.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so anyway, so we realized with these APIs, we can redact or change messages on the fly. And this is really important because for a couple of reasons. First of all, completely API based. So there's no client side stuff that we're doing at all. It's not like you have to install a Chrome extension or install some add on to Outlook or whatever.
No, I know. That's the freaky thing is there was no crappy browser extension or anything. It's like, this is, but this is Gmail. I'm looking at it. I'm like, it is Gmail. It says, you know, gmail.com and there's funny stuff going on. It's cool.
Yeah. And then secondly, because it's API based, it's just OAuth, right? So like we can grant and deploy access in a few minutes, the same way that you would OAuth your mail into some, you know, hipster mail client. So it's a really, really painless deploy. And then it's not invasive from a client side perspective.
No MX records or any of that stuff that people have trigger warnings on. Like I had someone point to a gray hair once being like, this is from my MX record rollout for Mimecast or whatever, right? Like email went down and my kid's college education was almost destroyed.
Well, I mean, it's funny, right? Because I did an interview, I think it was like, you know, might have even been about a year ago with someone from Trend, and they've got like an O365 security product, which is just, you know, it's more along that spam filtering and malware filtering lines, but they did a, you know, it's an API style deployment. So you give it access, it provisions itself the access that it needs, destroys the original, auth key or whatever. And then away they go. Right. So it's interesting that we're actually getting to this point. That was their whole selling point, is you don't need to mess around with MX records or anything.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so once you have this ability to change messages, which by the way, doing that for like a, you know, high volume, extremely critical data set like email at scale, it's like a very, very hard problem, and by no means trying to diminish it. But once you have that ability, you just unlock all these awesome security features, right? So now you take that ability and you apply it to the sensitive content problem, and you're like, okay, well, I can just keep the sensitive content there, but modify it and then unmodify it when I need it back. Or if you're applying it to the password reset thing, you're like, well, the password reset message doesn't have to show up in the clear. It can show up redacted, and then I can unmodify it when I want. And then we also do something with like phishing response, where we're not trying to be a blocker, but we're helping security teams respond faster to, like, let's say an employee report. Well, guess what the ability to modify messages gives me in that use case? Well, if you've told me about a message that's bad, why should I wait 3 hours until security can triage it to go see who else got it? Let me modify everyone else's copy right now, because I have some signal that it might be bad. And if it was a false positive, I'll modify it back. So if you have this ability to change emails on the fly whenever you want, what you've done is take a problem that used to be a, you get one chance on the way in or on the way out with the firewall method, and you turn it into a problem where I have as many goes as I want, right? I can constantly be examining a mailbox and modifying its contents at any time. Like Ryan and I, before this, we were at Dropbox, and honestly, email mailboxes, like today in cloud mailboxes, they're more like a file repository than a messaging protocol, right? Like it's the wrong way to think about them. If you're thinking about them just as a way to exchange messages, they are this like big fat repository of content. And if you start taking an AppSec approach to that rather than a NetSec approach, then like you start, all these ideas start coming to you of like, well, I wouldn't secure Dropbox this way. So like, why am I securing like email this way? Right. It just doesn't make any sense. So going back to the earlier point, one thing I wanted to add is like, there's this sort of simple insight early on that led to a lot of what we do, which is try to enumerate all the ways I can get into email and it's a long list. Try to enumerate all the things I want once I'm inside.
And it's a short list.
Much shorter list.
Yeah, yeah, right? Yeah. No, and look, hey, I'm going to ask the ultimate Grandpa Simpson question now, right? Okay.
My car gets 5 rods to the hog's head, and that's the way I likes it.
So the question is, that email that's disappeared from my inbox, where does it go? Like, where is that email stored at that point? The ones that are sort of removed, or, you know, they're modified, they're overwritten in my mailbox to just be a boilerplate thing, which is, you know, if you want to retrieve this message, you know, click here and do this auth. Where does that repository of information actually go at that point?
Yeah, I can take this one. So it really depends on the kind of account that we're trying to protect, because we can protect personal accounts. We protect a lot of just high risk VIPs directly.
Let's stick with enterprise, right? Because that's the bulk of people listening to this. That's why they're listening to this.
Cool. Yeah. In that case, we have this kind of wild model where we build each of our customers their own separate instance of our software hosted on the public cloud. And then we give the actual security team, like, basically the highest, like, ACL on it. Like, it goes wherever they kind of want it to. Like, we don't have one big backend. It's sort of like underneath Dropbox historically, like, all your files are stored in S3 buckets, but there's one big AWS environment that Dropbox locks the hell out of and keeps safe and, you know, encrypts everything at rest and blah, 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 blah. We kind of do the same thing for our software, but each one of our, like, super, you know, cool enterprise customers gets their own independent copy of our infrastructure, because we're infrastructure automation nuts. Like, we have a bunch of people on our team, you know, who love automating things in the public cloud that other people would have to click, you know, hundreds and hundreds of buttons to do. And so, like, because of that, I give the customer the keys to the location of their data, and then it's up to them if they want us to operate it.
So your software is handling that data at that point. So your software essentially becomes
it's a secure backup at the end of the day, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Your software essentially becomes the mail store, I guess.
Yeah.
And what you're saying about it being in a different instance per customer is that I guess you handle things a little bit differently to Mimecast.
I understand the appeal of a wildcard cert or whatever, but there's a reason we don't have wildcard certs or whatever. You know, reusing certs across customers, not the best thing in the world, but I'm not going to throw shade. Like, everybody has.
I mean, you know, let me ask that. Like, what happens if one of your customers, say they're an 0365 customer, right? What can you do to protect against Golden SAML attacks against your customers, right? Say this group, this SolarWinds crew, Holiday Bear, whatever you want to call them, say that they're rolling Golden SAML attacks against one of your customers, 0365. I mean, that won't actually bypass your software, will it? Because the mail just isn't there once they get access to the 0365 tenant.
We've even had customers who are like, oh, cool, Google competes with me, or Microsoft competes with me. So, like, minimizing the amount of my sensitive information that's ostensibly in the Google and Microsoft mailboxes is a win independent of the bad guys, you know? So
you're always going to need that step-up auth, aren't you? There is no function in your software that allows this data to escape without something like a duo push or a U2F step up. There's no sort of Golden SAML mechanism.
Because that threat model is actually kind of isomorphic to insider threat, right? That I work at your company and I'm being fired and I'm going to run away with all my email on the last day because I can auth, right? If you want to send me duo pushes, I'll do them all day long. I want to steal from this company. And the fact that you have to basically pick individual pieces of data and give me an IP address and a push and whatever, it means that I can do things like rate limit that, or be like, I don't like the device that you're hitting this from, right? All the cool things that people like about stuff like, you know, Duo Beyond and Okta, that in the here and now, I can make the right game time decision about who are you, what data do you want, what have you done recently, what, you know, where does your IP geolocate, are you missing the client cert that I expect? Like, being able to kind of go piece by piece by piece and like a finer granularity with this stuff means that even if you are totally owned, like, we'd have to really, really be asleep at the wheel to let them steal all your shit.
Yeah. So. Yeah. No, it's making sense. Abhishek, you got something to add there.
Yeah, I was just going to add to that. So, like, what you've really done is you've said that accessing a message is now a transaction that can be verified. And before, it was account access that can be verified. But after that, I get everything, right? If I get into an account, that's it, period, done. I'm over the wall. But now what you're saying is actually some messages are really, really important, and they're very different from other messages that are just scheduling like a coffee chat or something. And for those messages, you've added an ability to add a layer of verification, which is just, again, in any other sort of software protection model, that would be pretty standard. It's like, yeah, there's some privileged transactions. They require a little bit more authentication. But for some reason in email, we are perfectly happy living in this world, which is that, hey, once you get into the account, like every transaction is fair game. And yeah, that doesn't make sense, right?
Now, look, I mean, I got to ask, you guys must be absolutely thrilled with the attackers du jour, our holiday bear. You know, we'll just call them that for this this podcast. The ones who attacked SolarWinds, they attacked Malwarebytes, they attacked Mimecast. I mean, obviously, you're going to be a little bit nervous that they're going to go after you and try to find some way to get in through your supply chain towards your customers. But, you know, as you've said, the way you've architected it will make that, you know, not impossible, but challenging, right? Which is, sadly, more than a lot of vendors can say about the way that they've been doing things. Now, look, this is the threat actor that you were designed to mitigate, because it seems like what they're most interested in is golden SAML attacks to 0365 mailboxes. I mean, is it you guys? Is it you? Are you sponsoring this activity? Because it seems like, I don't know, you're backed by some pretty powerful people. You're backed by some pretty serious money. So I sort of wonder, you know, maybe you've got a hand in this. But this is your threat actor, right, Ryan? I mean, you must be thrilled about this.
There but for the grace of God go we on all this stuff. And ask not for whom, you know, the golden SAML tolls, for it tolls for thee. So I'm going to try and minimize the amount of hubris that I bring to this conversation. But yeah, I mean, the point is, like, email is like 98% of the ink that is spilled about email security, if not more, is about like phishing and all the ways that we can get you and whatever, right? But like, email is what people want to get, all right? Like, never confuse.
It's not just a vector. Yeah, yeah. It's
targets and vectors are different, okay? Yeah. They're orthogonal, to use the nerd word, you know? So to your point about, are we doing this? No, definitely not. But I do sort of wonder with like how big VC rounds and stuff can be. Like, you can make a market for like stolen stuff. You know, if you're like a threat intel company or something, right? Like, I do wonder how much random stolen crap is bought online accidentally with VC money. Probably an interesting analysis.
You mean all of the threat intel companies buying stolen databases with Bitcoin?
Yeah, no, it's making a market is making a market, man, even if you don't mean to.
Yeah. You know? Look, I mean, I want to get your thoughts. Oh, go on, Abhishek. Sorry.
Yeah, I was just going to say that the target versus vector thing, like, it's so important because historically, email was mostly just the vector. And that's why a lot of email security is what it is. Because, like, back in the day, it was a fantastic way to deliver you some malware. But what the target was not email, because, like, whatever, it was a Hotmail mailbox with like 4 megabytes or something, right? Like, the actual target was everything else, like the network, the PC, whatever. But that's just changed. And like, I don't, the sort of surprising thing to us, and I think partially it's because we were like new to the email security space, is we're just like, hey guys, like, this has clearly changed. Like, email is no longer just the vector, it's the target. But why isn't the approach to security changing?
Well, I got to ask too, like, when it comes to other services, I mean, essentially what you're doing is gluing, you know, more authentication and authorization challenges to commodity cloud enterprise services, right? That's basically what you do. Yep. You've applied that to email, but, you know, 0365 is bigger than email. Are you going to start doing this same thing with different cloud, you know, enterprise functions, like documents and whatever? Like, are you actually going to branch this out from email?
Yeah, two common requests we've gotten from a lot of our customers and prospects that we talk to is, hey, can you do something like this for my documents? And can you do something like this for, you know, my like chat application, right? Because like, you talk about Slack and Teams, the sort of similar problem. And the answer is, yeah, this technique definitely applies, right? Because at the end of the day, those are also records. Those could also be modifiable via API and step up authentication and stuff like that. But today we're not doing any of those. And I think the reason is because, frankly, email is just such a large problem. And Ryan and I like to joke, like, once we've solved email, like, we're gonna go to Disneyland, right? Like, we'll take a break. So, and it's also, in some ways, I think, you know, a lot of my early career was in the productivity space. And one thing about email is that it's always the lowest common denominator, which means that it always has a lot of like, no matter how many other channels of communication you open up, email will always be there. It's like the cockroach, right? It's so resilient. And so nowhere are we hearing from customers like, no, do this instead of email. Please do this for my docs. It's always additive. And so I think one day, yeah, like that's definitely something we will explore. But today we're super focused on just crushing the like gargantuan problem that is email.
I don't know if you guys regularly listen to the show, but, you know, we've had some pretty choice words for Microsoft over its failure to allow people to like appropriately control the Azure apps that, you know, users can sort of connect into there.
OAuth phishing is no joke.
OAuth phishing is something we started speaking about on the show like years ago, right? And back when we first started talking about it, we were talking about it in the Google world, right?
The May of 2017 OAuth worm, I think, was a wake-up call for at least Google, but not Microsoft, I guess.
Yeah, it's a bit crazy. But I mean, look, again, you know, what you've done here is because you're actually shifting, you're basically saying, you know, we've got a mail store if you use O365 and don't trust O365 for all of these reasons. I mean, that's essentially your pitch, right?
I mean, I've talked to people that are like, they have multiple threat models. And in like, because when you, like, the trends and forces here are so wild, you know, like we wouldn't be able to exist if like Microsoft and Google hadn't vacuumed up everybody's email pretty much in the last year for these, like
Luke, I mean, fortunes are made based on Microsoft's failure to do good email, right?
Yeah, yeah. I call that between the toes of giants. You know,
yeah,
you
can have you seen companies. Yeah. You know, have you seen Proofpoint's revenue lately? Like, that's a river of gold just flowing because they don't know how to do spam and malware filtering. You know, they suck at it.
I mean,
that's right.
Or like Snowflake is a $50 billion company because Amazon couldn't figure out how to copy BigQuery properly. You know, so there's all these wild between the toes of giants stories. You know, centralization is big swings and big whiffs.
So look, let's talk about that business aspect of this, right? Because, you know, it's very interesting when I talk to these startups, and I talk to a lot of them, right, in my job. And quite often people are like, yeah, we don't know really where we're going to take this. We're just going to build it and see, you know what I mean? We're signing customers. Maybe someone will come along and buy us. You're very different. I mean, you've got a very clear vision for where you want this business to go. I understand you've got like some big players behind you, right? Tell us a little bit about who's backing Material Security and like, you know, round size and stuff like that. Because I think that's actually interesting. You know, it's a serious, this is what I'd call a serious startup, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we're kind of in it to win it. Like I'm like kind of a creature of Silicon Valley for better or worse at this point. I you know, moved here when I was 18 for college and kind of got stuck here because it's actually a pretty nice place to live when it's not on fire. And so we knew we were onto something, honestly, when we started showing like demos of this to like not the big VCs, but like the other badass like security experts and founders and like the really hands-on, like the people who hate every vendor. Or like, we have a good friend who I will not name here, but he said, we don't buy shit, but we would buy this. And like, so like basically all of our like super badass. I mean, I think you've probably had like Haroon Mir on the show before, and he's like the most hardcore security person you can possibly meet. And he was like, this is so cool. So I don't really care about the big VCs. Like I had a company before. I've seen, you know, other sides of this stuff, and I've written checks into companies and whatever, like, but when the actual practitioners are into it, that makes a ton of sense. And it just, it's the biggest like pick me up, especially when they start like angel investing in you and stuff. And you're like, whoa, like you could spend your money on like a Tesla and you gave it to me instead. Like, cool. So, but yeah, we Andreessen did our Series A in like 2018. And for a big VC, like they're the coolest. But my point is like a lot of people chase validation on Sand Hill Road, and Sand Hill Road is just a big old tank of gasoline that pours it on stuff. And sometimes they smother beautiful things with how much gasoline they're pouring on it. You know, so I didn't do a startup to get validation from super cool Sandhill people. Like I did it to get validation from, like, frankly, the people you have on your show who know their shit. So that being said, it's an incredible asset to have access to some of the best professional investors and the smartest money that you can find in the tech industry. And like, I don't take that for granted at all.
How's the business side going? Like, is this, you know, what's the market response been like to this? Because it is something genuinely different and new.
It's been great. Honestly, like one of the things that's most powerful about it, and you even just said it yourself, is that because it's different, what we don't have is the classic sort of rip and replace sale, right? Like a lot of what you see in enterprise is the, hey, this is a slightly incrementally better version of the thing you already have. Rip that thing out, modernize that thing with this thing, and, you know, go on and so forth.
Next generation.
Next generation, right? What people are realizing about this is that it truly is orthogonal to kind of what they're already doing. And it's filling a need that just hasn't been addressed. It's not about just an incremental shift. So I think we've been super lucky to get, like Ryan was saying, a lot of customers that are typically pretty skeptical of buying, you know, security products, as well as customers that have, you know, invested in a lot of security products, but still see this as a gap. The other thing that's interesting, and I think this is where like the industry dynamics kind of help, but because Microsoft and Google are leading this incredible like consolidation of the email market, like everyone from mid-market and up is a potential customer of ours, right? So our smallest customer is a 100-person investment company that is extremely regulated, hypersensitive about
their email. Well, I think I'm going to claim that title very soon for being your smallest customer, but anyway.
I know a guy who can get you to the front of the wait list. You know,
so and then our largest customer is a 200,000 person, you know, global company. So, but in both cases, guess what the deployment was? It was a OAuth grant in, you know, a 30-minute meeting. So that's actually ridiculous. Like the fact that those two customer segments can be served by the same product and have like mostly the same integration experience, that's crazy. And talk about enablers from the giants, right? Like that's a huge enabler. So I think, you know, it's clear there's a pretty big opportunity here, and we're raising with that in mind. And yeah, we're in no hurry to stop.
I got to ask, has the SolarWinds thing, you know, holiday bear, whatever you want to call it, has it been good for business?
I don't think people thought email was in great shape before that. So I think there's a lot of just panic, but I don't get people pushing back on me being like, I did MFA, so I'm perfect.
Yeah, you know? Because now they're like,
yeah, you're not going to get fired like at this point, you know, like there's security is all about best practices and finger pointing and all these other like horrible pathological market dynamics that we see in this industry. And like, yeah, like you can do everything right and still get owned. And so like you have to be constantly learning about new technology and new techniques and clever startups that are gluing a bunch of things you've bought recently together, right? Like people tell us like, you are my reward for buying Okta, right? And you are my reward for my Office 365 migration. Like I didn't know that when I was going through that annoying airlift of moving my Exchange server to, you know, to O365, that this would be like the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, you know? So it's cool to be able to like be exactly in the right place in the right time with a lot of these big, horrible, gross migrations and big, massive multi-trillion-dollar trends to actually make a difference for smart companies.
Well, look, guys, we're going to wrap it up. It's been really interesting, actually. And I think what you're doing, it is definitely fresh, right? Like it is definitely something new. When I got the demo, I mean, we brought you guys in as a sponsor. I think we had very little inventory for this year left. And it was definitely, we had to think about who we were going to get into some of these slots. And yeah, absolutely happy to have you guys on board. It's always great to speak to people who are doing something actually new and actually different. As I say, I'm probably going to sign up Risky Biz as a client. Yeah, really cool. And look, fun chat as well. So Ryan Noon, Abhishek Agrawal, thank you so much for joining us to talk about your baby, material security, and I wish you the best of luck with it.
Thank you so much, Patrick.
Thanks so much for having us.
That was Abhishek Agrawal and Ryan Noon there, and all very interesting stuff. You can check out material security at material.security. There's stuff to learn about too. I found myself emailing them questions after the interview, like, how do you search through your mail when it's been completely redacted? And they do actually handle that with browser extensions, in case you're wondering. But also the extent to which redaction occurs is tunable. So some people might choose to just redact certain types of information rather than whole messages. And in that case, they wouldn't even need a browser extension. But as I say, there's stuff to know. It's very interesting stuff. Go check them out for yourself at material.security. And that is it from me today. I'll be back in a couple of days with another weekly show. But until then, I've been Patrick Gray. Thanks for listening.